just read the opening verses of this letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of these verses. We're going to read a few more from other places in the Word of God. Now, sometimes that we're apt to neglect the writings of Peter and John, James, and we become more interested in what we would call the great epistles of Paul. But when you turn to this book and you start reading Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now suppose you and I had lived in the Middle East at that time when the Lord was here, and we'd taken a journey up to Capernaum. Perhaps we went on a vacation. We went down and watched the fishing boats going out. It's very interesting to go to a fishing port and watch the fishermen go out. Although I must say this, that I've seen them come in more than I've seen them go out. But some of these fishermen go out at 3 and 4 in the morning. They come in about 3, between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. And there's usually a lot of people gather around these places when the fishermen come in and see what they've got and catch. I suppose we'd gone up there and we got acquainted with some of these fishermen. And here was one of them. Perhaps he was the strongest of them all and was telling them what to do and how to cast the nets and how to get things done. Say, who's he? That's Peter. Peter. And a fisherman. I don't suppose he had much of an education. He would know terminology about boats and fish and so on. But so far as theology was concerned, he hadn't gone to the schools of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. And yet here we have a book here, written, of course, like a letter. And he starts off by telling you, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, I thought he was a fisherman. How did that fellow ever become an apostle of Jesus Christ? Did he just put himself in there? Is this some title he took to himself? Or did some school confer this on him? Did he go to Jerusalem and pass a test or something there with the Pharisees and then they said, oh yes, you can be an apostle? Of course you know he did. But let us try and examine tonight some of the things that we learned about Peter, just to see who he is, before we perhaps in some future time try and pick out some of the lessons that he teaches us in this epistle. Let's try and find out some things about Peter. How did he become an apostle of Jesus Christ? Now let us very quickly go over a number of scriptures and see the steps in the development of this man's spiritual life. Let's go to John's Gospel chapter 1 to begin with. John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he, that's Andrew, brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now I think we'll all agree that Peter was a great man. We'll see that as we read some scriptures later on. But I think it's interesting to go back to this point to see how he first of all was introduced to the Savior. He was introduced by his brother. Now, I will say this. It's one of the most difficult things in the Christian experience to try and testify to your own. I suppose in my time I've preached to thousands of people. Thousands upon thousands when I try to think back over the years. And I could do that. I could speak to an audience of 2,000 or 3,000 easier than go to my own brother and say, look, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. Now, it's not easy to approach your own, especially if they're older than you. It's not easy. If you don't believe me, just have a try. In fact, it's sometimes difficult even for parents to be able to develop a conversation with some of their own family after they've reached a certain age. Here was a man called Andrew. Now, while it's Peter I'm drawing your attention to, we must say this about Andrew. He was a man who knew how to introduce people to the Lord. And he started by bringing his own brother. You remember he also was the man who introduced the little boy with 5 little barley loaves and 2 little fish. He was the one who observed him and said, now there's a lad here. And he brought the little lad to the Lord. The lad who gave what he had to the Lord, you remember, and he fed the thousands with him. He also was the man who was the contact man when the Greeks came up and said we would see Jesus. Andrew was the man who contacted them with the Lord. Andrew was a good man. Of course, I have a lot of special feelings for Andrew because, you see, Andrew was the patron saint of Scotland. You heard of the flag of St. Andrew. Well, that's the Scottish flag. The cross, St. Andrew's cross. He's the patron saint. That's why the great university in Scotland is at St. Andrew's. That's where golf started. Whether Andrew ever played or not, I don't know, but I know this. He was good at bringing men to Christ. He brought Peter. That was how Peter was first of all introduced by his brother Andrew, another fisherman, bringing him to the Lord. But then that's only the start of his spiritual career. Now look for a moment at the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 5, where you get another step in the development of this man's life. It may be that some of you here tonight can remember the time when you were introduced to the Lord. Perhaps that's just about as far as you've gone. But now let me draw your attention to something here. Look at verse 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 5 verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now I suggest to you, here's the second step in the development of this man's life leading on to the day when he would be an apostle and able to write that letter. You see, he'd been introduced to the Lord, and no doubt he became a believer then. He was convinced that what Andrew told him was true. He is the Messiah. But now, on this occasion, the Lord has been using Peter's boat. He was preaching from the boat. And he says, launch out into the deep. And then after they brought the fish in, he said, now Simon, now Peter, from now on, you're going to catch men the same way as you've been catching fish, and you only caught fish when you agreed with what I told you, when you were obedient to my word, you brought in all this great net full of fish. Now, from now on, you're going to catch men. And at that time they forsook all and followed him. That is, they became disciples, followers of the Lord. True, he was a believer. He had been convinced of that when Andrew introduced him. But now there's something more important in his life. The main object in his life now, he's going to be a follower of the Lord, a true disciple. Now that to me is step number two. But just turn over to chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel, perhaps same page as your Bible, or maybe over the page. Chapter 6, and look at verse 13. Chapter 6, 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Watch who's mentioned first, Simon, whom he also named Peter, meaning a stone or a rock, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So now, out of all the people who were following him, who were disciples, he chose 12. Now you see, he's Peter the apostle, not by self-will, not by the will of man. Men didn't make him an apostle. He didn't make himself an apostle. He was a follower, and the Lord, out of all his followers, chose 12. He did the choosing. And as he chose them, here was Peter. Now, I wonder if it had been left to you and me, would we have chosen Peter? I don't suppose Peter could pass a test today to be accepted by any missionary board. I don't suppose they would give him a pulpit in any of the organized denominations. He wouldn't have the credentials. Why, a fisherman? Who's going to put a fisherman in the pulpit? But the Lord chose 12, whom he also called apostles, sent ones. And the first one mentioned is Simon, called Peter. Now he's mentioned first here, and without turning to the scriptures, I'll just remind you of this. There was an occasion when out of those 12, he chose 3. And he took them with him up to the Mount of Transfiguration. That must have been a wonderful experience for them on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw the Lord transfigured, as it were, in glory with Moses and Elias. And you remember who the three were? Peter, James, and John. He not only was an apostle, he was a privileged apostle. Then do you remember the occasion when the little girl had died, and they came along, and the Lord took with them Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the little girl. They went into the room and put all the others out. One man said the reason he put them out, they were making too much noise. They had a band with them, and they were moaning and groaning, chanting away, and he put them all out. Quiet time. Peter was there. And you remember, he saw him raise that little girl. That was a special occasion. Then you remember another occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John were taking a little bit further than the others. And perhaps I've often wondered, was Peter near enough? I know he fell asleep, I know that. But prior to that, I wonder, did he see the Lord kneeling in prayer on that occasion? I wonder if he saw his sweat, like drops of blood falling to the ground. If he didn't, he would see it on his brow when he was finished praying. Peter was one of the privileged three that was taken that little bit further on the night when the Lord was suffering in the garden. That's Peter. Peter the Apostle. Now, that's the man who's writing this letter. He's writing it to people who are scattered abroad, and he has a purpose in writing it. But I'd like tonight, for just a few moments that are left us, to try and investigate a little something about this man himself. Now, I suppose if we were sitting in a class, and we went round the class and asked each of you to write down the piece of paper, what do you know about Peter? You know, I'm almost positive that number one at the top of your page, you would write, why, he denied the Lord on the night of the betrayal. It was Peter who denied the Lord. Yeah, we know that. We know that. Haven't we all? Haven't we? And then there were times, of course, you might write down, there were times when Peter made other mistakes, or times when he spoke when he should have kept quiet. Perfectly true. But it may be there's other occasions when you and I have kept quiet when we should have been speaking out. One is just as bad as the other. But I'm not thinking of Peter's shortcomings just now. I would rather like to concentrate on his good points. His confessions, if you like. It would be wonderful to try and go through all you can find out of Peter's confessions, but I'm thinking of those that he made to the Lord himself. He confessed a lot of things afterwards when he did his preaching, but I'm thinking of the confessions he made to the Lord, things he said to the Lord. Turn back a page again to Luke chapter 5, where we were already reading. Just before that he forsook all and followed the Lord. Look at verse 4, chapter 5, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. There I suggest to you is one of the first outstanding confessions made by Peter about the Lord and to the Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word. Peter here is emphasizing the fact that he laid great importance on the word of the Lord. Of course, as I have shown you already, he had been introduced to him. That's why I believe he became a believer when Andrew brought him there. He already had his heart going out to the Lord. And he's been listening to him preaching from his own boat. He's convinced that the Lord's word is a word of authority. And the Lord wouldn't ask us to do anything out of place. He says, you know, Lord, we've been out fishing all night. We've toiled all night. They weren't out wasting their time. He says, we have toiled all night. And they tell me when men go out in those fishing boats, if it's four, it's the crew, they've all do their own particular job to do, in letting out the nets, bringing them in, and so on. He says, we, every one of them was busy, we have toiled, and we've toiled all the night, and we've had empty nets, we've taken nothing. It's one of the most difficult things for a fisherman to acknowledge. You never caught anything. Toiled all night, do nothing. But here's the turning point. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What a confession to make. I've been a failure. I've tried my best. I've nothing to show for it. But Lord, If you say that's what's to be done, I'm ready. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Brothers and sisters, you may criticize Peter as much as you like, but I think we should take our stand with him right there. Nevertheless, at thy word. You see the importance of being obedient to the word of the Lord. If the Lord says, this is what I want you to do, then that's what we should be doing. And we should be doing it the way that the Lord says it's to be done. Here's a confession of Peter. Nevertheless, even if I've been a failure in my own strength and what I've tried to do, nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will let down the net. But I want to go to one of his great confessions, back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, for a moment. And I suggest to you that Peter's much like ourselves, you know. He learned as he was going on. He was adding to his knowledge of the Lord and the things about the Lord. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter's great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When his brother Andrew came to him, he says, oh, Peter, we've found the Messiah. We've found the Messiah. Peter went with him. Now, Peter had him preaching out of his boat. He listened to his word. Then he followed him to become a catcher of men. Now he's been traveling with him. He's been appointed to be one of the apostles. And now here he is. Other men are saying, well, they think you're John the Baptist risen again from the dead. Some think you're Elijah. Some think you're a prophet. But who do you think I am? What's your estimation of me? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Beloved, whenever we reach that stage in our Christian experience that we're gripped with the greatness of the person of Christ, we're making progress. We'll never be able, of course, to apprehend and comprehend all that surrounds the person of Jesus Christ. Too great for us. But surely we can learn some things about him. And I like what Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the Messiah, you're the anointed one, and you are the Son of the living God. Others would say, no, he's the son of Joseph the carpenter, that's who he is, we know him, that's what the Pharisees, we know who he is. He's the son of Joseph the carpenter, we know his father and mother. And we know the things that surrounded his coming into this life. You know, they spoke about him in a sarcastic kind of a way. But not so Peter. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, he's learning some good theology here. There is much theology in that statement, that confession of Peter's, that would keep you and I studying and going through the Bible for a long time. But that's not his only confession. Look at John chapter 6 for a moment. John chapter 6. This is the time when the Lord has been feeding the multitude and then he gives them the discourse about the bread of life. But you know, they didn't understand what he was saying. Look at verse 66, chapter 6, verse 66. And at that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Stop there for a moment to get the background to this. A lot of people had been following him, multitudes. At one time, over 5,000 men besides women and children were gathered around him, and he fed them, you remember, right here in John 6. Then he begins to discourse to them. And because of the things he said, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now notice it's Peter that answers here. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What a confession. To the Lord. Thou hast the words of eternal life. In plain words, Lord, to whom could we turn? To whom could we go? Will ye also go away? If so, to whom could we go, Lord? We've no one else to go to. Thou hast the words of eternal life. We've left the ships. We've left the fishing. We've been following you as disciples. You've made us an apostle. You're asking us, will we go away with them? No. And while the multitudes were turning away, and many going back and walking no more with them, Peter says, no. Thou hast the words of eternal life. May I suggest that this very confession of Peter is something that should grip our hearts. You also, I don't care who you are, you also have been faced at some time or another with the possibility of turning away when temptations come. When the magnetic power of the world begins to draw, and things are going to take you away from the Lord. You hear him say, will ye also go away? And you even say, Lord, where can we go? To whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Stay with the Lord. Now look at our last one, because time's gone. Look at John 21. John 21. I like this one. Now look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now look at verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. What a confession. Thou knowest all things. I wonder when he learned that truth. You know, there were times when he thought he could tell the Lord something. You remember that? He says, well, Lord, even if they all forsake you and flee away, I'll go with you all the way, Lord. The Lord said to him, now Peter, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. When the Lord spoke about going to Jerusalem and dying, he said, no, Lord, be it far from thee. Don't do that. But now he's come to the point. He's had a bitter experience. The Lord has been kind to him, because in the morning of the resurrection, he said to Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brethren and Peter. Now don't forget Peter. Go and tell my brother and Peter, as if he needed to have a special message. Then there's a little strange thing At the end of Luke's Gospel, you remember when the two that walked to Emmaus come back, they went into the upper room, they found them saying, "Why, you know, he's risen, and he appeared to Simon." Now, we have no record of where that was or when and what was said. But he made a special appearance to him. And you learn that again when you come to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul makes mention of it. So in resurrection, the Lord made a special appearance to Peter. Here in chapter 21 is kind of public in front of the others. But there were seven of them there who went fishing that night. And in front of the other six, the Lord reinstates them. And right here, Peter's thinking back on the experiences he had. He says, "Oh Lord, there's no argument here. Thou knowest all things." Peter had learned that in a bitter way. Far better if he had learned it to begin with. The Lord knew it best. And he knew it all. Beloved, take those confessions of Peter. See, we can apply them to ourselves. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Don't let anybody ever rob us of that great truth. He's the Christ, the Son of God. "Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, thou knowest all things." There's not a thing we can tell the Lord, but he already knows it. But you may converse with him about these things. You may mention them in prayer. But you're really not giving the Lord any information. He already knows all about us. He knows the worst about us. Yet he loves us just the same. Let us come to that point with Peter. Peter says, "Lord, thou knowest all things." Now that's the man that starts to write that letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we bow our hearts before thee. We thank thee again for an evening hour spent together at the prayer meeting. Thou hast heard the prayers that have gone up. O God, we ask now that in mercy thou will look down upon each of us. Remember every family circle represented here this night. Oh God, we think of those who couldn't be here, or we think of some perhaps who might have been here and could have been here if they had a strong enough desire. We pray for them. Oh God, cause that there may be a spirit of reviving in every heart, that soon we'll see more seats occupied at every service and be conscious of a movement of thy Holy Spirit in our midst. We ask it. Take us now home in safety for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Greetings over.